welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, drama from two programs. Later on, the Screen Guild Theater from 1939. But first, it's the Damon Runyon Theater, a syndicated episode from December 26th, 1948. The story called Hold'em Yale.
The Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master storyteller, Damon Runyon. And this one, Hold'em Yale. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. Well, one Saturday, I am in New Haven for a very large football game between the Harvards and the Yales. And what I am doing there is something which calls for quite little explanation, because I am not a college man. Also, what happens at the football game is quite a story, and one which I will tell to you in a minute. Being at this football game goes back to one Friday night when I'm sitting in Mindy's thinking of very little except how I can get hold of a few potatoes to take care of the old overhead. And while I am sitting there, I look up and see Pete the peddler. Pete is a ticket speculator by trade, but at the moment he seems to have something else on his mind. So I watch him for a minute. Then he spots me and comes over.
Hello, Broadway.
Hiya, Pete. What's the news?
There is no news. Say, is Gigolo Georgie around any place?
I do not see him. Why?
I am looking for him.
I see.
You do not see.
I do not see?
He owes me 100 fish.
You loan Gigolo Georgie a C-note?
Eh, that is plain silly. Nobody loans Georgie anything except maybe a hit on top of his noggin. And that he does not have to pay back.
True, very true. Then why are you looking for him?
Tomorrow is the large football hassle between the Harvards and the Yales. You know that?
I do not read the society pages.
Well, I give Georgie some ducats to sell at a fancy price. He takes the ducats and does a blowaway.
Leaving you holding the bank.
But I hope soon to be holding his neck.
Well, he is not in here. Do you look in the nightclubs? He is always dancing with some doll who pays for the check.
Eh, he is nowhere about.
I see.
Well, someday I will catch up with him. Meanwhile, Broadway, how are you fixed for cash?
I am in a sad state of disrepair.
Okay, come to New Haven with me and the boys tomorrow, and we will see what we can do to come honestly by a few fish.
You want me to help you hustle the ducats?
Sure. I figure this is quite an affair, and there will be those who need ducats. We have them, and we sell them.
Slightly above the market price.
Why not?
As you say, why not? Okay, Pete, you have got yourself another boy. When do we start?
We leave on the train tomorrow morning.
And when do we come back?
As soon as we get rid of the ducats. Why? Do you wish to stay in New Haven?
I do not wish to stay any place that is more than 5 minutes away from Times Square. That is what I tell Pete. But it so happens that I stay considerably longer than it takes to get rid of the tickets. And how that happens begins when I am standing in front of what is called the Yale Bowl. Now, this is no bowl at all, but is a large concrete place with no roof on it. Well, like I say, I am standing there innocently holding some buckets in my hand in case somebody wants one or two. Then the scene is as follows.
Get your hot dogs here. Get your hot dogs. 10 cents. 1 cent of a dollar. Get your puppies here.
Get
hot
dogs. Stew curry here. Pound stew curry. 5 minute lady at your charge. Only 50 cents.
Pardon me. Pardon me.
Huh? Are you speaking to me, miss?
Yes. Do you have a time?
Time for what?
Well, I mean, what time is it, please?
Oh, it is now 2:20.
Oh.
Is 2:20 a bad time for you?
The game will start in a few minutes.
You do not wish it to?
I'll miss it.
Well, that is pretty tough to do, seeing as how it is right inside.
But Elliot promised to meet me here with the tickets a half hour ago.
Oh. Well, look, I have here some choice ducats for said game. I will sell you one for
$10. $10?
It is a bargain price, because the game is about to begin and the market is going down.
I have only 50 cents.
Well, goodbye, little miss.
Goodbye.
Little miss, when do you have to see the game?
My brother plays for Yale.
Oh. Football?
Of course. Why?
Nothing.
I wish I had some money.
There are plenty of us who wish the same. But how does it happen that you have none?
Well, you see, I left Miss Peavy's school in Worcester, and all I had was the fare here.
Oh, I see.
No, you don't.
We will not have an argument about it.
I couldn't ask Miss Peavy for any because, well, because I ran away from the school.
Why?
It's rather a personal reason.
Well, as far as I can see, you are in a tough spot. But I am unable to sell you a ducat for 50 cents, so goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, thank you for telling me the time.
Think nothing of.
Broadway, I am looking for you. How is it going?
Not good, Pete. I have 4 ducats left.
Oh, great, great. I got 1, and so has Milk Air and Nubsy Taylor.
And so you are stuck with 7 ducats.
Yeah, that is so. Say, do I not see you talking with that little doll as I walk up?
Uh-huh.
Who is she?
I do not know her. But she tells me a hard luck story about somebody who is named Elliot and who does not show up with her ticket for the game.
Why do you not try to sell her one?
Because she has got only 50 cents.
Oh. Oh, here comes Milk Air and Nubsy. How's the luck, boys? Milk Air?
Terrible. I still got the ducat, and from what I hear, the game is about to begin.
What about you, Nubsy?
There is no market for this ticket.
And the game is about to begin. I am stuck with 7 ducats.
Pete, since you are not going to get rid of these, why do you not give one to the little miss, huh?
The one I see you talking to?
Sure. Look at it. She is still crying.
It is a hard luck story. Dolls always have a hard luck story. It is part of their character.
No, I do not think this one is putting on the bite.
Why not?
Well, she says she comes from Worcester. And dolls with hard luck stories always come from San Francisco. Because the fare is somewhat larger.
That is true. But I think I got a better idea.
What is that?
Look, boys, I hustled ducats for many years now, but I never see one of these games. So I think I would like to. How about you, Milky?
Me? Nah.
Do you ever see one?
Nah.
Nubsy, how about you?
This is the closest I ever get to one, and I do not think I wish to get closer.
I often wish to see why suckers pay such high prices for ducats. Now is our chance.
I wish to go back to New York.
Broadway, there is no train until late this afternoon.
We are stuck here?
So we might as well see the football game.
Well, it is an idea.
So, come on.
Now, wait a minute, Pete. What about the little doll?
Let us see. Come on, boys.
Get your skill pants here. Get your pants. You tell
me, dear. Pardon us, little miss.
Oh, yes. What is it?
My friend here just tells me that you are hung out on the line.
I'm what?
He means I tell him that you are going to miss the game due to the fact that Elliot is not here.
Yes, that's right.
Well, look, I happen to have 7 ducats. We will take you in with us. That is, if you wish to accompany us.
You mean you'll really take me in?
That is what he says, little miss.
Oh, I don't know what to say.
Just yes or no.
Yes, and thank you.
Then it's settled.
Are you Yale or Harvard man?
Is that funny, Milk Air?
It is.
I guess it is at that. Okay, let us go.
So, we all start to walk to the place where we go in. And the little doll is so happy about seeing the game, she is bubbling over. In fact, she is so glad about it that she makes the rest of us real happy that we are able to do the favor for her. She has big blue eyes and turns them on Nubsy Taylor, who is more than somewhat fond of dolls, no matter what color eyes they got. Then she smiles at Milky, and I see that he is going to take the count. Even Pete the Peddler is getting soft as he listens to her while we walk along.
I can't tell you how sweet you are. Why, I think I'd have died if I'd missed the kickoff.
Kickoff? They are going to rub somebody out in there? I think I am beginning to like football.
How can you tell when you are not even inside yet?
They speak our language.
I like you. I'd be really happy if Elliot were here.
Look, little miss, who is this Elliot that you talk about?
He's my... can I trust you?
Now, that is a foolish question.
Shut up, Broadway. Go on, little miss. Who is Elliot?
My fiancé. Father hates him. As a matter of fact, Elliot and I are going to elope after the game.
After? Is football more important?
My brother's playing today. For Yale.
You say your father hates this Elliot. Why?
Because he thinks Elliot is... Well, he thinks Elliot's after my money.
Oh, you have money?
Only what my uncle left me.
Just a few fish, huh?
Fish?
Dollars.
Oh, yes. He left me $1,000,000.
Milk Air. Better be careful how you eat those peanuts.
And make her stop talking like that.
Well, you know, something tells me this Elliot citizen is no dope.
I can't imagine why he didn't show up when he said he would.
That is something that bothers me, too. Now...
But I won't miss the game after all. Oh, you're all so wonderful to me. I feel as though I'd known you all my life.
Uh-huh. It seems we now all have something in common.
Broadway, there is nothing common about a million potatoes.
Oh, look, here's our entrance. Let's hurry. The kickoff's the best part of the game.
Not where we come from.
What?
Nothing. Let us go in.
You know, Pete, something tells me we better not see this game.
Why not?
I just got a feeling, that's all.
Come on.
You'll love it.
Here, little miss, take my arm and we will go in style.
Here is another arm for you.
Oh, you're all so wonderful. You must be important men.
Like I say, let us go in. Nubsy, Newkir, Broadway, we are now going to college.
Inside what is called the Yale Bowl, and it is crowded with people. I cannot believe that so many citizens would sit out in the open to watch the Harvards and the Yales. But we take our seats, and the scene is as follows.
Look at all the suckers. Oh, if I only had the ticket concession.
Are all these people in here just to see football?
Look, here's my brother. See him? Way over there.
I see nothing but a lot of Indians in blankets.
Silly, that's the Harvard team. And... oh, we're on the wrong side.
Wrong side? What do you mean?
Don't you see, Broadway? Look around us.
I am. I see more people than there are in Times Square on New Year's Eve.
We're on the enemy's side.
Enemy? We got enemies here? We will keep our backs together and go down fighting. Little miss, what are you talking about?
This is the Harvard side.
We are not for Harvard?
Oh, no. You've got to root for Yale.
We do?
Of course. I'm for Yale. Don't you want to be?
If you are, we are. Nubsy, Newkir,
Yale it is.
I am now a Yale man.
If that is the way we got it, that is the way we got it. Hooray for Yale!
Oh, you're just immense. Oh, look, the teams are coming out on the field. Stand up, boys. Yay! Yale!
Hey, how do you like this little doll? She has leather lungs.
Say, how many guys play this game?
It is practically a gang war.
Hey, you guys, take a look around us.
What is the matter?
I do not like the way the citizens in our immediate vicinity are eyeing our little doll.
Yeah, they do not seem to be in favor of the Yales.
Oh, I am not prepared for this. No rascal, no nothing.
I know now we should go back to New York where there is peace and quiet.
Nothing doing. The little doll is our guest. We do not walk out on a guest.
I only hope we are able to walk out.
They're lining up for the kickoff.
Ah, this is what I am waiting to see.
Stand up, boys.
Stand up. I do not know why, but stand up.
There it goes.
This kid is a born mobster. She is bloodthirsty.
Look at what is happening down there.
It is a free-for-all.
Boys, if we do that in New York, the gendarmes will throw us in the clink.
What happens then?
Harvard's ball. First and 10 on the 25.
Oh, I see.
Do you?
No. Look, one of the guys in the blue shirt is wiped out.
He was knifed because I did not hear a shot.
He'll be all right. He's got to be all right.
He has only a slim chance the way I see it. There are two tons on top of him.
Look, he's getting up. Anna boy, kill him!
And she is so young.
Hold him,
Dale! I wonder how long this goes on.
From the looks of it, until they are all wiped out.
Hey, Pete, look. We are getting some dirty looks from the Harvards around us. They do not like the way our little doll is screaming for the Yale.
Yeah, I see. Broadway, it looks like we might have some trouble. Well, it makes for an interesting afternoon.
Well, that is the way it goes. The Harvards and the Yales go running up and down the grass, knocking each other from here to next Sunday. And our little doll keeps up a steady fight. In fact, she can yell about as loud as anybody I ever hear, male or female. And we keep getting dirty looks from the Harvards in our neighborhood. Then the little doll mentions that she is chilly, and Nubsy and Milky have disappeared during what the doll says is a timeout. Then they come back, and the scene is as follows.
Here you are, little miss. Put this robe around you.
Oh, thank you.
I have got a thermos jug of coffee for you.
Why, that's wonderful.
Boys, where did you get those robes and things?
We find them. Yeah, we find them.
How?
The hard way. But what is the difference? Little miss, do you have a mean coat?
Well, yes. Why?
See, Nubsy, I am right. We would have carried it over for nothing.
What has happened?
Time's back in. Oh, we've got to score. We've just got to.
How'd the matter stand now, little miss?
Scoreless tie and only 3 minutes to go.
Little miss, you say that citizen who fires the gun is just a timekeeper?
That's right. Why?
It just makes me nervous, that's all. I figure he's going to hurt somebody.
Come on, Yale! Come on!
Hey, why don't you go over to the Yale side?
Mind your own important business.
Yeah. Hold on, Yale.
You.
That's a great comeback.
Yale's better than Harvard any day in the week.
Except on Saturday, which is today.
You wouldn't say that to my friends here.
Are they for Yale, too?
Yes.
Well, then tell them to go to the Yale side.
We've got seats here, and we'll stay. Isn't that right, Pete?
That is right.
So there.
So there. Honey, that's exactly as I'd expect Yale men to look. Especially the one with the broken nose.
He means me.
And the other one. Where'd they get that ear?
He is talking about my ear, and I am sensitive about that.
I guess we better spread out, boys.
So wait a minute, Pete. We are surrounded.
Do we let them talk that way about us?
What is happening now?
One of the characters in the red shirts is all by himself.
Look at that boy run.
Go on, boy, go on! Follow me! Follow me!
He runs faster than Harry the horse the night the gendarmes went to ask him a few questions.
Get him! Pull him down! Get him!
Hold him, Yale! What am I saying?
Why don't that citizen with the rod take a shot at him?
Little miss, is this bad?
He's going for a touchdown!
Is that good?
No, we'll lose!
He's over!
I do not know what happens, but I gather that it is all bad, eh, miss?
It's terrible.
Come on, let's get those goalposts! Come on, you Harvard man, let's get those goalposts!
What does he say?
They're going to take our goalposts.
What is that?
Look, don't let them take them.
I would not give you 8 cents for them.
You don't understand. They mustn't have the goalposts.
What good those posts will be after they get them is a mystery to me.
Well, I'm not going to let them do it. Come on, Yale, come on!
Hey, where is she going?
Search me, but she is heading for the field.
She does not want the Harvards to take the goalposts.
Pete, let us get out of here.
Wait, Broadway. Are we going to stand by and watch the Harvards do something the little doll does not wish them to do?
I do not like the crack that guy makes about my nose.
And I am still sensitive about my ear.
It just so happens I have a dollar's worth of nickels rolled up in paper in case I get in a fight.
A dollar's worth of nickels in a guy's fist makes him a pretty tough customer. As a matter of fact, I have a roll of nickels.
It's a funny thing, but after feeling around in my pockets, I have two.
Then why do we stand here while the little doll is down there?
Let us go.
Now, wait. We are only four of us.
I do not care. I wish to look for the citizen who makes the crack about my nose. I think I will give him one like it.
We will fight for the honor of the Yale.
I do not go to Yale. I never wish to go to Yale. I do not care to defend the honor of Yale.
But it is for our little doll.
But I... Oh, that is different. Let us go. So we go down to the field and get to where the goalposts are. By this time, there are several thousand Harvards tugging at the posts, and I figure the odds are pretty heavy. But then I see that our little doll climbs up and is now sitting on the crossbar screaming at the Harvards.
Don't you dare! Don't you dare take these posts!
Get out, or we'll take you with them!
You're coward! You fight a lady!
Well, there's some doubt about that.
Mister, look, you hear the little lady. Do not shake her down from there.
Oh, it's you, huh? And your friend.
For the last time, do not shake the little lady down.
No? He'll watch.
Hey, Nutley, Broadway, Mildred, don't let her.
Mister, do not do it. The little doll up there does not wish you to.
Oh, you're in it too, huh? Well, look, I never did like Derby. Oh, I think yours would look much better down over your face.
Pete, get me out of this hat. Let me at that guy. Pull up my hat so I can see.
This is the end of peaceful talk. Here we go.
Come out here. Get him again. Kill him.
Keep your backs to the post, boys, and let's go.
Well, about this time, one of the Harvards, who is 9 feet tall, reaches over 6 other guys and hits me on the chin. While I am going through the air, 2 other guys punch me when I am unable to defend myself. By the time I pick myself up, I am pretty well out of the way of everybody and have a chance to see what is going on. And what I see is Nubsy, Milkier, and Pete battling the Harvards. Nubsy's derby is still down over his ears, but he punches a hole in it so he can see, and he is swinging right and left. But the odds are too heavy. I run back into the battle, and the scene is as follows.
I am having trouble breathing through this derby.
We cannot hold out much longer. I am not so tired of getting hit as I am of getting up off the ground.
I never figured these college boys are so good.
Hold it, fellas! Hold it!
Look!
Look, these are game guys. Even if they do go to Yale. What do you say we call it quits, huh?
Hey!
Okay, okay.
Okay, keep your goalposts. Anybody who puts up that good a fight deserves them.
Come on.
Nubsy, how are you?
I will never wear another derby as long as I live.
If I live.
Nubsy, look. My other ear. The good one.
Yeah. Now both sides of your head will match.
Oh, you wonderful, wonderful man. I could kiss each one of them.
I think nothing of it.
Yale won't forget this.
Neither will we. Does anybody see my shirt?
I... Oh, look.
Are they coming back?
Oh, no. It's Elliot. Elliot, here I am.
Wait, that guy, Elliot.
I want you to meet him. He's a Yale man.
Yale man?
Patricia, darling, are you all right?
Yes, but if it hadn't been for these wonderful men, I...
Die, gigolo! Georgie, you dirty little...
Please, now listen, you...
Elliot, what's the matter?
Stand back, little miss. There is going to be a body going through the air. So, you're Elliot, eh?
Now listen, Pete,
gigolo, Georgie, and you're going to take this little doll for a ride. You're going to elope with her.
What's the matter? Why are you calling him Georgie?
Goodbye! I hope the exit is open. Goodbye!
Take care of the little doll, boys. I'm going to take care of gigolo, Georgie.
Elliot! Come back.
I do not think he will come back.
From the way he is going, he will slow down only when he crosses the state line.
From the way Pete is going, I say Georgie will not make the state line.
He does not even make it to the goal line.
Oh, the coward. Why doesn't he stand up and fight?
Little miss, maybe you better turn your head.
I will not. He's running from only one man, and you stood up against hundreds. I hate him. I hate him.
Well, you change your mind suddenly.
Come on. We'll find my father and I'll go home.
Yeah. There's no use waiting for Pete. He will be busy for quite a while.
Well, after Pete takes care of Gigolo Georgie, we take the young doll to the railroad station where she says she is going back to Miss Peavy's school in Worcester. We put her on the train, and then we patch ourselves up and go back to New York. And I am very glad indeed to see her. Then I do not see Pete, Nubsy, or Milky for quite some time. In fact, it is a year later. And what happens then is the payoff, which I will tell you in a minute. As I am saying, it is a year later that I see the boys again. It happens that I am out of potatoes. And when I look in the paper, I see that the Harvards and the Yales are going to play another game. So I figure I will help Pete hustle buckets. I mosey over to the terminal where I think I will see Pete, and sure enough, there he is. He sees me, and the scene is as follows.
Well, Broadway. I do not see you for a long time. How are you?
I am fine. And how are you, Pete?
Great. Just great. What are you doing here? You are going someplace?
Well, I figured that maybe you will be hustling buckets again this year, and maybe you need another boy?
Well, it is true that we are going to see the Harvards and the Yales do it again, but I am not hustling buckets.
You are not? But you are going to the game.
So is Nubsy and Milky. In fact, here they come now.
What is that Nubsy has got on his head?
A hat.
But it is not his usual derby.
No.
Hello, Broadway.
Hiya, Nubsy. Milky.
Hello, Broadway.
What is that you are carrying, Milky?
It is what is called a pennant. It has got Yale printed on it.
I do not understand.
The little doll's father is so grateful that we pry Gigolo Georgie away that he invites us to the game in his private box. That right, boys?
That is right. And I am wearing a soft hat. Not that I expect trouble.
This year there will be no trouble. We are sitting with the Yales.
Sure. Now, we're all together, boys. Let us do it again.
Okay. One, two, three.
Bola, 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 all of Yale.
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, Hold'em Yale. Listen in again next week for the Damon Runyon Theater.
The Damon Runyon Theater, untuned to yesterday, a syndicated recording from the day after Christmas, 1948. This is an hour of drama, untuned to yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, singing star Jeanette MacDonald appears on the Gulf Screen Guild Theater 4 years after she was seen on the silver screen alongside singer Nelson Eddy in the movie Naughty Marietta, and 3 years after she starred alongside Clark Gable and Spencer Tracy in the Oscar-winning motion picture San Francisco. She now shares the microphone with Charles Winninger and Robert Taylor in a song for Clotilda, heard on CBS on February 19, 1939.
Welcome, everybody. Tonight, your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer joins the Gulf Oil Companies in presenting the seventh in a new series of programs. Reviews, musical comedies, and dramatic shows, all the varied entertainment forms of Hollywood. So welcome, all of you, to the Motion Picture Star's own program. Welcome to the Gulf Screen Guild Show. With Tyler Brooke, Jeanette McDonald, Robert Taylor, Charles Wininger, Oscar Bradley, and Hollywood's favorite master of ceremonies, George Murphy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the seventh of the Motion Picture Star's own programs, the Gulf Screen Guild Show. As you know, each week we present a different type show with a different cast of stars, all of them written, directed, and acted by the greatest names in the motion picture industry for the benefit of the Motion Picture Relief Fund. Last week, it was a drama. Next week, a review starring Burns and Allen, Ruth Davis, Melvin Douglas, and Shirley Ross. Tonight, a musical comedy, A Song for Clotilda, directed by Robert Z. Leonard and written by Ralph Block, under the musical direction of Oscar Bradley. Tonight we meet Jeanette MacDonald as the Princess Clotilda, her Uncle Keo, played by Charles Wininger, Prince Lothar, alias Johnny Prince, played by Robert Taylor, and Tyler Brooke as Jan, his personal servant. Springtime, Paris. The Princess Clotilda, at her piano, is unaware of an audience composed of the concierge, gendarmes, militaire, and boulevardier under her window, or that her Uncle Keo, fire in his eye and a newspaper in his hand, is hurrying up the stairs.
Of what, Uncle
Theo? Oh, this advertisement in the newspaper. Lady, well-born, young, beautiful, will devote an hour each evening to any gentleman with credentials. Conversation, dancing, a sophisticated view of the world. Fee, 500 francs. Address, Clotilde, 82, Rue de la Matin. Will you stop that playing and listen to me?
All right, Uncle Theo, what do you want?
What is the meaning of this item?
It means just what it says.
Have you lost your senses? Think of the emperor.
He's dead.
Well, think of your country.
It's been off the map for 5 years.
Well, just the same, you're still a princess.
Mm-hmm. A princess out of a job.
But a princess offering herself as a paid companion, it's undignified.
Oh, I'm tired of living on past memories and beef stew. I want some Paris gowns, a bottle of eau de something, and a broiled lamb chop.
Would you sell the honor of the royal house of Spasia for a broiled bottle?
Oh, don't be dramatic, Uncle Keo.
You've got a voice. Why don't you get a job singing?
They don't want singing these days. They want swinging.
A paid companion. Ah!
Just think. Tickets to the opera. A box at the races.
Well, you're wasting your breath, Clotilde.
Cafes, Uncle Keo. The best tables. Someone else paying the bills.
I won't.
Onion soup at Henri. Oh. Canard sauvage at René.
Oh, I can't stand it.
Crepe Suzette at Monet.
No, absolutely no. When do we start?
Tonight. We go to the Café Poutrel. To get clients, we must show ourselves at the most exclusive spots, you know.
Who pays the bills for these previews? We've nothing left that will bring a sou.
Oh, what about Rudolph?
Oh, we can't pawn him, Clotilde. My conscience would hurt me at the thought of an old faithful retainer behind the three ball. However...
He got a salary every month in the palace. He must have saved some of it.
Yeah, he's the type. He must have. Rudolph!
Yes, Your Highness. Come in. What is it? With Your Highness. Why do you look at me like that?
Rudolph, have you or have you not some money?
Only 200 Svetian kronen.
So, I've been nursing a serpent in my bosom. Rudolph, oh, it hurts me deep inside.
Does that mean you want the kronen or the bicarbonate, Your Highness?
The 200 kronen, and be quick about it, you hoarder, you miser, you kronen crook.
Yes, Your Highness.
Poor Rudolph. Suppose no one wants to engage my time.
It's too late for supposing. Win, lose, or draw, tonight the Princess Clotilda and her agent, Count Keogh, will dine at the Café Poutrel. Thank goodness.
I'm sure I don't know. What does it say, Johnny?
In a cable from New York? When do we open at the Rainbow Room?
If you buzzards will keep quiet, I'll read it to you. Listen. Johnny Prince, Café Poutrel, Paris. We'll hear your midnight broadcast. If okay, we'll send contracts for you and your band to open at the Rainbow Room, New York. Oh,
goodbye, boy. Paris. Hello, New York.
Swinging up the game, planks of Broadway.
Shall I pack my trunk, Johnny?
You'd all better pack some good, solid harmony in that broadcast. Now, go on, clear out so that I can lay out a program.
Come on, Shane.
Come on.
Pardon, sire.
What's that, Jan?
Oh, Prince Lothar.
Come again, Jan.
Mr. Prince.
All right.
Oh, I can't get used to it, sire. I mean, sir. What would the people of Crovania say if they knew Prince Lothar, heir presumptive to their throne, was blowing a saxophone in a Paris cafe under the name of Johnny Prince?
The kingdom of Crovania is gone, Jan. It's now the regency of Spezia Crovania. So why a Prince Lothar? Oh, come on now. Don't look so down in the mouth. When we get to New York, maybe they'll crown me king of swing.
Yes, sir. I hope so, sir.
Jan, what did you come in to tell me, if anything?
Oh, tell you? Oh, yes, sir. That man's here again.
You mean the song plugger with that ditty called Doin' the Balkan Bounce?
No, sir. The emissary from the region of Spezia Crovania.
Oh, well, get rid of him.
Oh, but he says it's most important.
Tell him some other time. I've got this broadcast. Come in.
Monsieur Prince.
Yes, Monsieur Poutrel.
C'est terrible. Quelle erreur.
What's up?
She's gone. Mademoiselle Renette a fleur de coup.
You mean she's not going to be...
She's quit. Said goodbye.
But she can't do that. Hurry up. Get a move on. We've only got an hour before we go on the air.
The manager! I demand to see the manager.
Uncle Keo, please.
A deadbeat, am I? Where is the manager?
Monsieur, I am the manager, Charlemagne Poutrel. The waiter tells me you refused to pay your check.
Refused? I gave the ignoramus 150 kronen and told him to keep the change.
Kronen?
You can live a whole year on that in Spezia.
You can live 5 years on them in Paris, monsieur. Huh? 5 years in jail.
Oh.
I must ask you to pay the check in francs, monsieur.
Suppose I can't. I mean, suppose I won't.
In that case, we could use an extra dishwasher in the kitchen, monsieur.
Oh, couldn't he just wipe?
Count Keo, a dish dunker.
Well. Well, in 3 minutes, we go on the air. Did you find me a singer?
No, Monsieur Johnny, such short notice. I implore. I beg.
But the future of the whole orchestra is at stake. In exactly 2 minutes, we go on the air.
Just a second, monsieur. How much would you pay for a singer?
Oh, anything, mademoiselle.
500 francs?
500? Isn't that rather steep?
Well, that's the price I've established.
And 125 would be donated to a worthy cause. The relief of kitchen police.
Make up your mind, monsieur. You've only 1 minute left.
All right, it's a bargain, mademoiselle. What song will you sing?
How about The Dove?
Oh, good Lord, no. We've got to send something that's hot. That's what they like in New York.
I like The Dove.
Sure, but you see, you can't sing...
I'll sing The Dove.
Okay, little pigeon, but I warn you, you'll be sorry. Come on, there's a signal. We're on the air. This is Johnny Prince and his orchestra coming to you direct from the Café Poutrel, Paris. Now we introduce Mademoiselle...
Clotilde.
Who sings...
The Dove.
Yes, The Dove.
I saw you, I met you, I loved you then. The spell of a moment divine. I want you, I need you, I love you now. Nothing more. If I have your love, I'm free.
boys, give the lady a little help.
Oh, they're
going to
like
this in New
York. Stop! How dare you make a fool of me? How dare you ruin a fine piece of music? This is what I think of you and your swing. And I hope that was heard around the world, too. Good night.
Wait. Wait a minute, Clotilda.
Monsieur Fritz, I saw. I am a witness.
Clotilda!
You're such an insult. She's horrible. She's terrible.
She's wonderful. She's divine.
Divine? Oh, I understand, monsieur. You fell in love with her singing when she swung on the song.
On the song? Don't be silly. I fell in love with her when she swung on my chin.
Times no. Do you think, Johnny Prince, you can bribe me to tell you Clotilde's whereabouts for a paltry 300 francs?
I'll ante another 100, Keel.
Well, that's better. But still, I wouldn't consider it.
How about 500?
Now you're appealing to my notoriously soft heart, Mr. Prince. I promise Clotilde...
600 francs, Keel?
Sold. I mean, I know exactly how you feel. I was young and romantic once myself. Have you the 600 francs with you?
Yep, here they are. Now, don't say a word to anybody. We'll forget this little deal. Now, where is Clotilde and how can I see her?
Well, she's given up entertaining and she's guiding tourists around Paris. My idea, of course. All you have to do is to make an appointment.
Oh, that's ridiculous. If I made an appointment, she wouldn't keep it.
She would if I didn't tell her who made the appointment.
Oh, I see. Well, I want to be taken through the Louvre. Have Clotilde meet me there at 5 this afternoon.
Very well. Here's your ticket. 100 francs, please.
But I just gave you 600.
Oh, we forgot all about that. Remember? 100 francs or no ticket.
All right, you win, Uncle Keogh. But if Clotilda doesn't meet me at 5 on the dot, you're meeting with an accident at 5:30.
Huh?
On the nose.
Oh.
You don't go away, I'll call a gendarme.
Right ahead and call. When he gets here, I'll tell him your Uncle Keogh did me out of 100 francs. He sold me a ticket to see the Louvre, and I demand to be shown the sights.
Very well, Mr. Prince. If you insist.
All I want is my money's worth.
You'll get it. Follow me, please.
I'd follow you anywhere, Clotilda.
This, Mr. Prince, is a celebrated Venus de Milo. May I point out the classic profile of the nose evokes vividly the essential virtues of Greek art?
May I point out that your nose wiggles when you talk?
One does not know the original position of the arm.
Oh, I could easily show you that.
Since you evidently don't appreciate sculpture, we can go back, perhaps go look at the Mona Lisa.
I'd rather go someplace where we can talk.
I'm not interested in anything you have to say.
Now, wait a minute. I've got writer's cramp from writing notes you won't answer. Fallen arches from chasing you from Montmartre to the Champs-Élysées. If you think I'm going on with this game of hide-and-seek, you're crazy.
Don't yell at me.
I'll yell if I like.
The whole Louvre will hear you.
I don't care if all Paris listens in.
You want the guard to think we're married?
That'll be wonderful. Ever since that night at Café Poutrel, I've been trying to see you to tell you I love you.
Fine way you have of showing it.
You haven't given me a chance. Oh, look, Clotilde, I'm sorry for what happened at the café, but up to that time, the broadcast was the most important thing in the world to me.
I gathered that.
That was my big chance, my passage to New York, my future paychecks.
Do you mind if I resent being used to exploit you and your swing band?
Oh, Clotilde, you don't understand. My future's your future. Strange as it may seem, I want to marry you.
What's so strange about it? Don't you think I've ever been proposed to before?
Not by me, you haven't.
Oh, well, there I go again, missing another great opportunity.
Oh, well, you can't be expected to figure things out for yourself. From now on, I'll make the decisions for this combination.
Oh, you will?
Yes, decision number one. All arguments are to be settled this way.
Oh, Johnny, someone's coming. Let me go.
What of it? Don't they come to Paris to be shocked?
This gallery, monsieur et madame, contains the statue of the Venus de Milo. It can be seen just behind the couple who are embracing.
Pardon the intrusion, monsieur, mademoiselle.
Oh, that's quite all right.
One does not know the original position of the arms of this lovely creature. The statue, I mean. But one may assume...
Will you meet me here tomorrow? Same time, same place?
Yes, darling. I'll be here.
Prince Lothar.
This is he.
Count Dmitri of Crovania speaking from the capital. I have news of the greatest importance. The Crovanian Spetsian dual monarchy has decided to end their regency. It is the wish of the Crovanian people that you, Prince Lothar, ascend the throne. It is your duty, Your Highness, to return at once.
But how can I return?
It is your duty, Your Highness, to return to Crovania's. Princess Clotilde?
This is she.
Baron Raventi of Spezia speaking from the capital. I have news of the greatest importance. The Crovanian Spezia dual monarchy has decided to end their regency. It is the wish of the Spezian people that you, Princess Clotilde, ascend the throne. It is your duty, Your Highness, to return at once.
But how can I?
It is your duty, Your Highness, to return to Crovania Spezia.
I'd like to speak to Johnny Prince.
The line is busy, mademoiselle.
Connect me with Mademoiselle Clotilde.
The line's busy, monsieur.
Please try again, operator.
I'm ringing him, mademoiselle.
But she must answer, operator.
I'm ringing her, monsieur.
Keep trying, operator.
I'm trying, monsieur. Line's busy, mademoiselle. Line's busy, monsieur. No answer, mademoiselle. No answer, monsieur. No answer. No answer. No answer. No answer.
I could only have talked to him, Uncle Keo.
Don't fret, my child. By now, your telegram has explained everything.
It's terrible running off like this, Jan. No chance to tell her anything. What'll she think when I don't show up tomorrow?
Your telegram, sire. By this time, all is clear to her.
Come off the balcony. Don't think you have to earn a crown on the head with a cold in the nose. Come in, come in. Clotilde, this is Count Dimitri of Cravonia and Baron Rivanti of Spezia.
Monsieur.
Your Highness.
These two gentlemen have a little surprise for you, Clotilde. Speak up, Rivanti.
It is in connection with your marriage, Your Highness.
What marriage?
The alliance that has been arranged between Your Highness and Prince Lothar of Cravenia.
Isn't that marvelous, Clotilde? You remember Prince Lothar, don't you?
No, I don't. And if I did, it wouldn't make any difference.
You must remember. Last time we saw him, he was handsomer than ever. Bronzed like a god. Blonde hair, blue eyes, and a beautiful little mustache.
Count Keo, the prince has black hair, brown eyes, no mustache.
Well, that's what I said, isn't it? Clotilde, I guarantee he'll make you a great husband.
I agreed to accept a crown, not a husband.
But my country, Crovenia, demands that our Prince Lothar rule with you.
And you can't have a king and queen who aren't married.
How clever of you, Uncle Keo. That makes it very simple, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, we'll go right back to Paris.
Be reasonable, Clotilde. Would you like to see your uncle a dishwasher in Paris?
I'll wash dishes or sing swing. Rudolph, get my bags and call me a taxi. A fast one. There's just time to catch the blue train for Paris.
What is it, Dimitri?
A crisis, Your Highness.
Already? Well, out with it.
It's the marriage alliance with the Royal House of Spezia, Your Highness.
Marriage alliance? I never heard of it.
But now it's all off, Your Highness. That's the crisis. She won't have you.
Who won't have me?
The Princess Clotilde of Spezia.
Did you say Clotilde?
Yes, Your Highness. The niece of Count Keo.
Count Keo? Clotilde, where is she?
She's gone off to Paris on the blue train, sire.
Well, get me a fast car. I'll catch her at the station.
The train left 5 minutes ago.
Then get me a plane. Hurry.
But she won't marry you, sire.
That's what you think.
What of the people, sire?
Don't let them stop cheering.
But the coronation, Your Highness.
Keep it on ice. We'll be back. Poutrel. Has Mademoiselle Clotilde been here since I left?
She was here, Monsieur Chani, looking for you, but she left her home this morning.
Mademoiselle Clotilde sings at the opera tonight?
No, it was the last night, Senor. Tonight she sings in Warsaw.
Pardon me, I wish to see Mademoiselle Clotilde.
She left Warsaw for London by plane this morning, Monsieur.
Who do you wish to see, sir? Mademoiselle Clotilde.
Sorry, sir. She's gone back to Paris.
Welcome, Monsieur Johnny. Welcome to the Café Poutrel. We have heard the good news. You are going to America?
It all depends on Clotilde. Where is she?
Clotilde? Listen.
Clotilde!
Johnny, Johnny, where have you been?
Chasing you all over Europe. Why didn't you tell me you were the Princess Clotilda? What's this about your not marrying me?
Not marrying you?
If you hadn't run off in the palace, we'd have been married now and crowned, too.
Do you feel all right, Johnny?
Don't you know who I am, Clotilda?
Of course. Johnny Prince.
Oh, now take it easy. I'm also Prince Lothar of Crovania.
You're Prince Lothar?
Yeah, look, it's done with mirrors. Johnny Prince, Prince Lothar. Get it?
And you're the one they wanted me to marry?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, but Johnny, we can go back. It's not too late.
Darling, they got tired of waiting for us. Crovania Spezia has a new monarch, King Keo the Kind. The kind who never pays his bills. They crowned him yesterday.
Mademoiselle, a thousand pardon. Your broadcast to America, you are on the air.
Johnny.
Yes, Clotilde.
I found a love song within a garden bell. I'll sing my love song until my love listening will find me. Must be lonely, so I'm singing only to a heart that beats for me. For every breeze that blows, there's a rose. For every sorrow's heart, a tender song.
This program's being heard around the world.
This is what I think of you and your swing. I hope that was heard around the world, too.
Thank you, John Conte. And special thanks to Tyler Brook, Jeanette McDonald, Robert Taylor, and Charles Winninger for being here with us tonight and turning in such swell performances.
Now, good night, George, and anytime you're near Spezia Crovania, drop in and say hello.
Yes, you, George. I'm going back for a visit.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Don't let that get you. You see, that was just a mythical kingdom. There is no such place.
How naive. I suppose that isn't our royal car over there.
Car? No, there's no car here.
Here, bring the royal car.
Oh, now, wait a minute, fellas. This is going too far. Well, shut my mouth.
Well, next I suppose you'll tell us there's no archway right over there.
Now, look, Jeanette, I know that there isn't an archway over there.
Come along, Jeanette. Good night, George.
Good night, Charlie.
Good night, George.
Good night, Jeanette.
And thanks. Through the archway, Rudolph.
Hey, wait a minute. There's no archway there.
George, there is now.
Oh, that surely is an awful hole in the program when Winninger leaves.
Do you mind if I say a word, George?
Sure, Bob. In Spezian or Crovanian?
In straight, me to you. I'd like to thank our listeners and the Gulf Oil Companies on behalf of tonight's cast. We appreciate having our own show, especially for such a worthy cause as the needs of the Motion Picture Relief Fund. We hope everyone enjoys hearing them as much as we do bringing them to you. Good night, George.
Good night, Bob, and thanks for coming. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, a review starring Burns and Allen, Ruth Davis, Melvin Douglas, and Shirley Ross. Until then, this is George Murphy saying thank you for the motion picture industry and the Gulf Oil Companies, and good night.
Next week, same time, same station, the good Gulf dealer in your neighborhood joins the Gulf Oil Companies in welcoming you to another Gulf Screen Guild show. John Conte speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Gulf Screen Guild Theater on Tuned to Yesterday from the 19th of February, 1939 on CBS, bringing the curtain down on this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great broadcasts from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.